great help with the sound system. I want to thank Bob and Patrick and Donna yesterday for spending most of the day up here and to work the kinks out. Last Sunday, the sound was so bad. It was so bad. I'll tell you how bad it was. The person up here asked Jeff to play it on the drums, and we did not hear it. We could not hear it. And I said, that will not happen again. Will not happen again. So we can hear up here. Things are getting better. I'll tell you what, this may sound a little strange, but we have about $1,000 to go. We have about $1,000 to go. And the next $1,000 we spend, you know those things that you put on to support your back? You may need one because it'll support your stomach too. Hallelujah. I don't know about the rest of you, but I think I'm getting younger. My wife's having a hard time with that, but she'll catch up. I was playing some Creedence Clearwater Revival and some different things this morning, and I looked at her and I said, do you have this in you? What? There's your answer right there. I'm not caught in rock and roll. I'm caught in all kinds of music. But there's only one way to hear music, and that's when you feel it, not when you hear it. When your belly begins to quiver a little bit from the bass, now you know you got a sound system. When the elderly began to bring earplugs, you know you got a sound system. Well, did that categorize? Now nobody will bring earplugs. No, actually, and if you'll notice, it's much better. When you can understand everything that's going on, then you've got a sound system. Hallelujah. I heard a wild-haired guy come out on the guitar this morning, a strange drum beat, and I said, that's what I want right there. When we get that in the sound system, when everybody falls over, faints, because of the weird music we've got up here, they don't know where to participate or run, then we got it. Then we got it. Hallelujah. All right, time for the children? All righty. Praise the Lord. For those of you that don't know, Bill's dad passed away a couple of days ago. What day? Thursday. And thank God that, well, that's what Bill said, so we believe that. Thank God we don't depend upon flesh and blood. And that the beginning and end of life is not when flesh dies. Well, actually, that's wrong. The end of life is not when flesh dies. It's the true beginning.
Yes.
The second beginning. The second coming of Jesus Christ. However you want to say it. It is the true. We were resurrected from sin the first time and from the flesh the second time. That's the way it is. Something to look forward to. I get tired of Christians that they talk about the great things that's going to happen when they die and go to heaven, and yet they fight death like crazy. They're afraid of it. And yet the Bible promises there's no death. There's no death to those that their names are written in the book of life. Hallelujah. All right. If you'll turn with me to the book of Matthew, we're going to start on our second session about keys to the kingdom. And let me tell you something. If you want to help yourself, get the tape from Wednesday night. Get the tape from Wednesday night because it goes into great detail about what's required to get the keys to the kingdom. We're going to lightly do it, but get the tape Wednesday night and you can hear what it truly requires. Matthew chapter 16. Father, these are your people. They showed up to hear from you today. Give them the desires of their heart. Explain to them. Use me, Lord. Let me be the donkey that you ride in on today. Let me lift their spirits and bring glory and honor to you. For them, give revelation and understanding and knowledge. And for that, we give you praise and honor and glory. In Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Keys to the kingdom. Titles. I like lots of titles. I don't like one. No keys, no kingdom. Number two, if you do not use your keys, you do not trust the king. Now let's read the scripture. Matthew 16, verse 13. When Jesus came into the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? So they said, some say John the Baptist, some say Elijah, others say Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. He said to them, but who do you say that I am? Who do you say that I am? Simon Peter answered and said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus answered and said to him, blessed are you, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. And I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Then he commanded his disciples that they should tell no one that he was Jesus the Christ. Now, get last week's tape. We went all through this scripture. You'll get a better understanding. I'm not going to do that again today. Now, a couple of high points here. Number one, when Jesus said, upon this rock I will build my church, he did not say, Peter, upon rock, you I will build the church. He said, upon the revelation that I'm Jesus Christ the Lord, Son of the living God and Messiah, I will build my church. Upon that revelation, and it plainly says that, anybody that says any different misreads the scripture. There's no one man that the church is built on. Never will be, never has been, except Jesus Christ, him crucified, the Messiah, the Son of the living God. No other person, place, or thing. Get that in your head. If not, you'll go off in the wrong direction and never get back. Because if it hadn't been Peter, it would have been somebody else he'd have said that to. One of the things that you and I need to get in our heads, that the kingdom of God will never be, the key to the kingdom of God will never be a man. It will not be a pope. It will not be a priest. It will not be a self-made man king. It will not be anything except the revelation that Jesus is the Son of the living God. And upon that, and I'll show you in Scripture this is true, and upon that, God will build his church. What does that mean? Until you say who he is, you can't be part of that. I'm going to say it to you again. Jesus will say to everybody this morning, who do you say that I am? And he's going to ask you to say it privately, and he's going to ask you to say it publicly. You're going to have to be proud of who he is and proud of whose you are. Amen. You can't keep it a secret or you don't have the keys to the kingdom. All right, let's begin. A little preview. Number one, who has the keys? Those that believe that Jesus is the Son of the living God, that there is a kingdom, that Jesus is the king, that there is a kingdom right now, right here, and Jesus is the king. Jesus earned the kingdom and the kingship by his obedience, not because he was the Son of the living God, because he was an obedient son. And that we will do the same, not by carrying sin, but by trusting and obeying. B, those that have a personal knowledge and relationship with Jesus, the Son of the living God, will have keys to the kingdom. C, our knowing is not based on research, our past experiences, or what the world says about what's right and wrong, or where we should go and what we shouldn't do, but by knowing the Holy Spirit. Those that know the Holy Spirit intimately will have keys to the kingdom. D, keys to the kingdom are given to those that are determined, persuaded, they have decided. He'll base it upon fallible men. One of the things I reminded you of last week, that Peter was one of the most fallible men that's in the Bible. He was not a saint. He never had been, never would be. But he was hard-headed and determined, so God could use him. E, this kingdom will and does prevail and is for us and him. God builds his kingdom with keys. This is F. Kick it. One of the fans. Oh, well. Let it squeal. That thing makes more noise than y'all do. F. God builds his kingdom with keys. Listen to me. There will nothing be built without keys. Nothing will be built without keys. It's the only thing that's important to God. The kingdom and the kingdom keys. I want you all to hear what I'm telling you. Nothing's important to God but the kingdom and the kingdom keys. No denomination, no movement, no church, no man. That's not what's important to God. What's important to God is the keys and the kingdom. If we can't fit in there, we'll never see the kingdom. Isn't that what Jesus said? that there's being born again, and then there is seeing the kingdom. All right, let's move on today. Verse 18 again. And I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. What's the gates of Hades? That's everything that hell can bring your way will not prevail. Now, let's read some scripture. To know about the keys to the kingdom, we must understand that Jesus said upon this rock. So what are we going to build on? If we're going to use keys for the kingdom, we have to understand where the lock is. And we have to understand where the rock is and what it is. Because that's the foundation for the kingdom. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 1. Moreover, brethren, I do not want you to be unaware. Let me say it another way. I want to remind you of something. That all our fathers were under the cloud. All passed through the sea. All were baptized into Moses. In the cloud and in the sea. All ate some spiritual food. And all drank the same spiritual drink. For they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them. This is BP. This is before Peter. He's talking about the rock was before Peter. So we're just going to negate Peter being the rock. We're going to talk about the rock that was following them. Let's go on. And that rock was Christ. But with most of them, God was not well pleased, for their bodies were scattered in the wilderness. Do you understand what I just said? All passed through the sea, but not all of them made it. All of them heard the good preaching and the good teaching, got the Sunday clothes and went to church all the time. But all of them didn't make it. All of them were followed by the rock, Christ Jesus, but all of them didn't make it. What's the first thing we learn? Well, that the rock, Christ Jesus, is not your key. It's what it's built on. You calling out his name is not the key. Many will come. They say, in your name, in my name, I did this and that and the other. And he's going to say, depart from me, I never knew you. So the name of Jesus is not the key. Ooh, did I step on anything then? The name of Jesus is not the key. Come on, I'll wear you out walking back and forth. You want me to read it to you again, or you got that down? And all drank the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ Jesus, or Christ. Matthew 7:24. Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine, Matthew 7:24, and does them, I think we're stumbling over a key here. Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who builds his house on this rock. Well, how many of you ever built a house on Peter? Y'all didn't roam around the neighborhood and look for Peter to build a house? Okay. And the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. The foundation we must build on is Jesus, and the key is doing. You got it? Wednesday night, very shortly. Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them. My question to the people there Wednesday night is, how do you does anything? How do you do anything? What's the first thing that has to come before you do anything? A decision. Without a decision, you will never do anything. I use the example, I'm going to go home after church. What can stop me? Nothing. I'm going home. Well, what if you have a flat? Bump in the road. Nothing's going to stop me. Why? Because I've made a decision. Well, what if your car falls down? Well, let me cut to the chase. How many of you have ever gotten home? How many times have you gotten home, and what did it take? It took a decision. Very simple thing. You don't make the decision, you're going to make it home. I would say that about the kingdom, and I would say it about heaven. It says, who hears these sayings and does them? Luke 6:48. He is like a man building a house who dug deep and laid the foundation on the rock. Dug deep. That nearly sounds like work. I didn't think you had to work to be a Christian. I didn't write this, but I'm telling you what it says. He is like a man building a house who dug deep and laid the foundation on the rock. And when the flood arose, the stream beat vehemently against the house. Here's your promise. When you make a decision, something's going to try to beat you up, beat you down, break down what you decided. It'll beat vehemently against the house and could not shake it, for it was founded on the rock. When you decide that Jesus Christ is Lord and you're going to do His sayings, nothing can beat you down. Okay, Romans 9:33. As it is written, "Behold, I lay in Zion a stumbling stone and rock of offense, and whoever believes on Him will not be put to shame." Boy, this is a big scripture right here. A big one. Number one, Jesus is not Superman. Because Superman wears a pretty little robe and everybody applauds when he walks in. Jesus is a stumbling block, the rock. Let me say it another way. He doesn't always grab you and hold you and say, "Poor little baby." Or he wouldn't be a stumbling block or a rock of offense. Some of the things he's going to ask us to do, we're not going to like it when we first hear it. But if he will do them, you will not be put to shame. Most of us don't obey God because we might end up looking the fool. And yet the promise says, if you will, you won't be put to shame. Can I reverse that? If you don't, you will. If you don't do what he says, you will be put to shame. Look at the world. Man, you don't have to go very far to see how crazy people are. And you all say, what makes them act that way? They're being put to shame right before your eyes. All right, let's go on. Now I'm going to tell you another. So, one of the keys, or to get the key, whichever way you want to look at it, is that you must acknowledge Jesus as Lord, but you must do what he says, or you'll be put to shame. These are not complicated. We're going to get them simple, very simple. We're going to have to be sold out that there is no other answer. Now let me just go a little bit past that. I'm not talking about just Jesus is the only answer. It's said that those that do his sayings, it's not enough to acknowledge that Jesus was on the cross. The devil does that. It's not enough to know that he died on the cross. The devil knows that. He'll acknowledge that. It's not enough to say he was resurrected, because the devil knows that. He met him during that time. So what does it take to do? Those that hear and do. Hear and do. All right, let's go on. Because here's some do. Here's a very specific do. One of the things that just leaped out at me during this study was the importance of the church to Christ Jesus. And I don't want to hear that you can be the church by yourself. Because if that's what you're saying, you're listening to the enemy. And I'm going to prove it to you in Scripture. Now listen to me. Here's some of the things that we're going to have to do as a church before we control the world. And do you understand that that's exactly what Jesus went to the cross for, was the control of the earth? Didn't he say, when you put my enemies under my feet, when you make them my footstool? That sounds like it. He wants to have the whole world as his footstool. Come on, this is the sissy Jesus most of you hear about. He wants to be king of the world. And he's ready to die for it. Are you ready to die for the same thing? Listen to me. I'm going to read it, then I'm going to hit it again. 1 Corinthians. You need to stay with me on this so that you'll not think I'm making something up. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 2. Here's your first statement. If you want keys to the kingdom, here's one of your requirements. Do you know that the saints will judge the world? Y'all don't act like you knew that. Do you know that the saints will judge the world? Why do you think that the world is in such sick shape right now? Because the saints forgot they're supposed to judge the world. You know why they're not judging the world? Because they won't judge themselves. The Bible says you won't look in the mirror and judge yourself, consider your ways. Therefore, you ain't got nothing to say to the world. Do you know that the saints will judge the world? And if the world will be judged by you, are you unworthy to judge the smallest matters? What's the smallest matters? You know, most Christians won't say it's wrong to smoke. They won't say it's wrong to get drunk. They won't say that homosexuality is wrong. They won't say that women going around wearing nothing is wrong. They won't say the guys that cuss are wrong. And you know what it just said? I'll read it to you again. Do you not know that the saints will judge the world? If the world will be judged by you, are you unworthy to judge the smallest things? When are you going to begin? I'm looking for a church that can judge the world. When are you going to begin? Let's get to judging some small things so I can give you some big things to take care of. Verse 3. Do you not know that we shall judge angels? How much more things that pertain to this life? My word. You don't understand what he said? That this life is more important than angels. And you're going to judge angels. And don't ask me to explain that. That's beyond me. But I understand the second part. When are you going to get started? Hallelujah. Come on. I'm telling you something God wants us to do. It's exciting. We shouldn't be afraid of it. Why? Because it's good for the world. It's great for the world. It's the only thing that's going to save the world. Don't tell me that Jesus is the Savior of the world and you don't act like it. Don't tell me that you're a Christian, you're going to help save the world, but you won't even stand up for anything. Why do I want to stand up for something? It says I'm going to get to be a big target when that happens. Because that's what they need. Amen. Why did Jesus die on the cross? It wasn't because it made them happy, it's because that's what they needed. Right. And that should make them happy. Verse 4. If then you have judgments concerning things pertaining to this life, do you appoint those who are least esteemed by the church to judge? Why are you going to ask the school board what they think? The Bible never gave the school board the right to tell you what your children believe. He gave you that right. And he told you not to let anybody else have the right. Since when does the television, the news media, the advertising agencies make up your mind what's right or wrong? How come it is that you'll watch the Academy Awards and the women come out wearing nothing and you find it hard to tell your daughters or your sons not to dress that way? Because you didn't say nothing then. You didn't say, I'm not watching that garbage. They may be teaching me something wrong. I don't need that. We don't give our judgments to the world. Let me tell you, let me just go a little further. There's no judge in the world that has authority over me. There's no law in the United States that has authority over me. You understand what I'm saying? There's no school board. There's no advertising agency. There's nobody that I ever allowed in my life to tell my children what I believe. Are you hearing me? My children knew what I believed from the time they were little, and believe it or not, they still know. Why? Because that was what was best for them. If you don't believe it, I'll give you their phone numbers. You call them and ask and see if it wasn't best for them. I'm not having trouble with my children. I got a promise from God. I'm not having trouble with them. I'm not going to have trouble with my grandchildren. I got a promise from God. It says if I will hear and do, they will hear and do. I'm not going to have to go. Never mind. Matthew 18. Matthew 18. Let somebody bring this up in the men's Bible study. It'd be a good scripture to bring up. Matthew 18, verse 15. Moreover, if your brother sins against you, go and tell him his fault. First time. Between you and him alone. Anybody in this body that thinks that I'm wrong and they talk behind my back, you've just broken this. You need to come to me. You need to talk to me. The Bible says never gave you permission to talk about anybody. It says talk to their face. Go and tell him his fault between you and him alone. If he hears you, you've gained your brother. But if he will not hear, take with you one or two more. That's three of you. That by the mouth of two or three witnesses, every word may be established. And by the way, if you're wrong, you won't get the two or three witnesses. Leave it alone. That means you're wrong. And if he refuses to hear them, tell it to the church. Why would you tell it to the church? I thought that's gossip. What did I just read to you in the scripture before? Who's going to judge? It said the saints. That means the church. Why you tell it to the church? You don't take a brother to court. That's against the word of God. You got to bring him to the church and let the church decide. But if he refuses even to hear the church, let him be to you like a heathen and a tax collector. Now I'm going to ask you something. When's the last time you had dinner with a tax collector? When's the last time you wanted to? So what is this saying? I mean, don't have anything to do with it. When this was written, tax collector was a bad word. There you go, still is. All right. So we know that the judgeship, one of the keys or one of the ability for us to do hear and do his word is we're going to have to start living a right life so that we can be righteous judges. Not as an individual, but as a church. Second thing. Second reason we're to step up and be a church. Step up and take the keys and act like the body of Christ. Acts chapter 2, verse 46. I'm going to show you that it's God's work and it's God's joy. How many of you are interested in what God wants?
Amen.
See, to me, the only way to make Him happy is do what He wants.
Right.
So continuing daily with one accord in the temple. But I thought I was the temple. No. You're just a little bitty rock in the temple. Yeah, that makes you the temple. But you ain't the temple until you become the church. So continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house. You come together in the temple, you have fun eating and chowing down house to house. That's when you have fun. They ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. You want the kingdom of God added to? You've got to become a church. One accord. You must know beyond a shadow of a doubt that you have a mission. And that you're part of the mission. And that your mission is a lot greater than you thought it was. Man, I've been trying to get that in your heads for seems like 100 years. Your mission is a whole lot greater than making it to heaven. It ain't about making it to heaven. This is what makes God happy. It's meeting together in one accord so that the Lord can add to the church daily. That's Acts 2:46. What makes God happy? Us meeting together in one accord so that He can add to that body, to that church. Now, just go a little bit further, Acts chapter 11. There's only one place to get taught. In Ephesians 4, it says that God gives your children teachers. It never said anything about the government giving your children teachers.
That's right.
It says that God calls teachers. They are part of the church to teach. If the church ever wants to act like the church, they're going to begin to teach from here out. The only correct school on the face of the earth is either church schools or home schools that are tied to the church. It's the only ordained teaching in the body of Christ. Acts chapter 11. And don't preach, don't teach me about government. You are the government. Based on the foundation, Jesus Christ. There is no other government than that. There's no other government than the Bible. I hope one day we don't have to find out what it's like to live in Russia or Afghanistan or someplace as a Christian when we have to stand up against a foul government. Because then you're going to be required to, or you ain't going to make it. Because if you won't stand up for Jesus, He won't stand up for you. We better start here while it's comfortable. Maybe we can get some practice. In fact, maybe we can take over the government. I don't mean war. I'm talking about spiritually. Where we have enough control that the school doesn't run us, the government doesn't run us, we run them. Like it used to be. Acts chapter 11. Hey, listen, am I a rebel? You better believe it. Am I against our government? No. Not at all. Because right now God put a man of God into the presidency, so I know He's still working through it. It ain't time to rebel. It's time to pray and it's time to stand up and be the church. So that we can influence the government in the right direction. Acts chapter 11, verse 26. And when he had found him, he brought him to Antioch. So it was that for a whole year they assembled with the church and taught a great many people. And the disciples were first called Christians at Antioch. Why? Because they pulled together? No, because they learned. They pulled together and teachers taught them what it was like to follow Christ, and there they were first called Christians. Why? Because they said, oh, thank you, Jesus, for dying on the cross. No. They began to hear and do. Now, good one. How many of you got any family problems at all? And I don't care what direction. Any family that needs help. The church is the only place that's going to get the help. Acts chapter 12, verse 5. I can't think of any worse than what we're going to read here. And this is the answer on how to get rid of the worst, okay? Acts chapter 12, verse 5. Peter was therefore kept in prison, but constant prayer was offered to God for him by the church. Not by one renegade prayer warrior. Let me tell you something. You can get the biggest prayer warrior you can think about right now. You can take Benny Hinn right now, and I'm telling you, if the church ever believes and does what they're supposed to do, he'll look like a janitor. The miracles and signs and wonders that will follow will make him look like he don't believe nothing. Listen again. Peter was therefore kept in prison, but constant prayer was offered to God for him by the church. And when Herod was about to bring him out, that night Peter was sleeping, bound with two chains between two soldiers. And the guards were blocking the door where they were keeping the prison. There was no way out. And the church prayed. They didn't say, uh-oh, one more Christian gone, guess there's nothing we can do about it. Like we do many times about society. It's the way we do for society. Everybody else is doing that, so there's nothing we can do about it. He was legally in prison. The king, the big dog, said so. And the church prayed right in the face of the law and society. Now behold, an angel of the Lord stood by him, and a light shone in the dark prison, and he struck Peter on the side. Get up! What are you doing laying there? Struck him on the side, raised him up, saying, arise quickly! And the chains fell off his hands. What are you saying, Stan? If we're going to have keys to the kingdom, we're going to be a church. And we're going to start making some things happen. And we're going to do it by praying, not against each other, and not individually. Is there anything wrong with praying individually? Absolutely not. It's required. I'm talking about what you're praying for. You're going to have to start praying for some things bigger than you've ever prayed for before. When there's a man of God in trouble, you're going to stand up and pray. You're going to stop your talking about him, and you're going to stand up and pray for him. And you're going to watch the chains fall off. You know what? It never talked about where Peter was guilty or not guilty. Jesus was guilty of breaking their law. I'm sure Peter was. And yet God took him out of the chains anyway. Well, I went to the doctor the other day, and they said, I'm going to die with cancer in the next 30 days. You guys take that more seriously than you do the jail. You'll die because the doctor says so. When are we going to stop being a church? Start being a church and say, no way, Jose. Not a chance in the world. Well, but the proof is there. Well, Peter was in chains too. They just forgot who had the keys to the chain. Well, Jesus, no, the church. God didn't come down and unlock it. The church did with their prayers. It's not enough to say, well, I'm powerful. So the only deliverance is from and through the church. I'm going to say that openly. The only difference is from and through the church. Not from some renegades out there on their own saying, oh, I'm afraid of this church or that church. I'm just better off, like I used to say, by myself. I'm safer that way. No, you're just dumber. That's what I was, and I'm changing. Not ever going to say that again. Not after I've studied the Word. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 22. It's not only God's work and joy. It's Jesus' life and love. Who did Jesus give his life for? Me. No, sir. He gave it for the kingdom. Don't get selfish and greedy. He loves the church. He longs to come back for the church. Ephesians 1:22. And he put all things under his feet and gave him to be head over all things to the church. God the Father placed Jesus Christ head of everything. And the head of the church. Now you understand why he loves it. Because he's the groom. We're the bride. He's the head of the church. Verse 23. Which is his body. Anybody here hate their body? If you do, you're nuts. It's what keeps your head going down the road. Right? Now you understand why Jesus loves his body. Which is his body. The fullness of him who fills all in all. It's not enough to say Jesus fills the entire earth without saying the church fills the entire earth. Are you hearing me? You must say the church fills the entire earth. He loves us. We love him. We move together. You got it? He's not going anywhere without us, and we shouldn't want to go anywhere without him. Okay. The church is the love and the life of Jesus. Colossians 1, verse 17. Colossians 1, verse 17. And he, Jesus, is before all things. And in him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he may have preeminence. Now I'm going to read this scripture to you, just a little normal, a little bit different. That would be unusual for me to read it different than you normally believe it. Listen to me. And he is before all things, and in him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the head of the body, the church. The body is the church, and he is the head. Y'all got that? Listen to this. Who is the beginning? What's the beginning? Who's the beginning? What was that? That's not what it says here. The church. It says the church is the beginning. The firstborn from the dead. Why do you think Jesus went to the grave? It was to pull the body out. Do you think he went in there and came out by himself? It says that you must take up your cross and follow him. Hey man, we went in with him. We came out with him. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead. You, the church, are the firstborn from the dead. Well, it was Jesus. It just says it was Uriah's body. You think he went in, just his head came out? We came out with him. Was there any church before that? Before that, there was nothing but a group of people led by a singular man, a mob. And if you'll study the mob, it didn't seem like they had a brain cell in the world. God would just miraculously bless them and provide for them, and the next day, they're cursing him. He'd lead them for years and provide for them, and the next day, they'd be building an idol, some other god. What are you saying, Stan? I'm saying that there was deliverance in the grave, and we came out. We were delivered. There was birth in the grave, and we came out born again. Come on. And no grave to us. That's a beginning for us. That's a beginning for the church, Harry. That's a beginning for the church. That was an open door for me. When that stone rolled away, it opened the church to rule and reign. What are you talking about? I thought we were talking about keys. If you don't get this down, you'll never have a key. First, you've got to be part of the church. Why? Because it pleases God. Because it's his plan. Because it's the only power, the only deliverance, the only healing. Why do you think people don't want to be a part of the church? Because that's that damning nature that wants to be independent from the king. I don't want to go to a place and have somebody tell me what to do. Well, I'm going to tell you something. Here's a little surprise. One day somebody's going to. I'd rather do it under my terms than the other terms. He is the head of the body of the church, who is the beginning of the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he may have preeminence. What's it going to take for Jesus to have preeminence in all things? Hey, wait, before you answer that, wouldn't it be cool if, wouldn't you just love it if Jesus was preeminent in all things? Wouldn't it just be the greatest world, the greatest life, if Jesus was preeminent in all things? Well, what does it take? There's the answer right there in that one little old two verses of Scripture. He's got to be the head of you. He's got to be the head of the body where you attend. And you have to attend. It's called the church. You have to be a part of it. You got to pray together. You got to have some fun together. And you got to live together and talk together and believe together. Because it gives not only us authority, but it gives him preeminence in all things. Well, man, I've been in this church and I ain't had nothing but trouble. Well, there's some preeminence that must be torn down before he can have preeminence in some things. Some of our learning has to be unlearned, and some of our old paths have to be plowed up so that there can be new ground. And none of that's fun. But you know what? It is fun. If I truly believe that Jesus is my head, he's my husband, he's the head of this body, and I'm not worried about my direction because I know it's good. I don't care where he's going. I'll guarantee you it's good. And I got to go with him or it's bad. All right. Look at Ephesians 3, verse 9. Ephesians 3, verse 9. How many of you just kind of look at the world and understand that they just don't seem to have it on the ball? Even the United States, we just don't have it on the ball. The Bible says a man that don't work, don't eat. So what does our government do? It sets up a welfare system where if you don't work, you can still get paid. They go against the will of God. Set up a system where the government can take children away from families because they're supposed to know more than the own mother and father. What a bunch of idiocy. Nobody knows what's better for their children than the own mother and father. Nobody. You don't want me to go on for the next hour about the stupid things we have in our government. Because you just get mad at them, and I don't want you to do that. I want you to get mad at sin, I want you to get mad at the devil, and I want you to go on for God. I don't want you doing any uproar against our government. We pray that out. We pray the change into there. Amen? And y'all, if y'all hung around me a little times past, you'd understand I'm not afraid to stand up. But here's what I want. When I stand up, I want power and wisdom revealed. Ephesians 3, verse 9. This is the job of the church, the job of the keys to the kingdom. And to make all see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the ages has been hidden in God, who created all things through Jesus Christ. Now, you know what I just did? I just spit in every educational system's face. I have to, because I have to do the word, not only say it, but do it. I must believe that God the Father is the beginning of all the things, is the beginning of all things through Christ Jesus. And therefore, evolution goes down the tube. No questions asked. I don't care what the National Geographic says. I don't care what the... Hey, listen. You need to get on TVN once in a while and listen to the Christian scientists tell you how it really is. Let them tell you about the dinosaurs and about the first Earth being destroyed by water and the second Earth returning. Let them explain to you the fossils. It makes a whole lot more sense than... Boom! It makes a whole lot more sense than a fish growing legs and turning into you. That don't make any sense at all, so don't fall for it. To make all see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the ages have been hidden in God, who created all things through Christ Jesus. Number 10, to the intent that now the manifold wisdom of God, the manifold wisdom of God, listen to me, people of the body of Christ, the manifold wisdom of God might be made known by the church. That's you. I'm laying on you right now that God wants to use you to show wisdom. Not just normal wisdom, the manifold wisdom of God. He wants the church to know it. Now listen to this. I'm going to start again. To the intent that now the manifold wisdom of God might be known, made known by the church to who? To the principalities and powers in the heavenly places. That's everything from the ground up. Definition of that is from the curvature of the earth up. What am I saying? You, the church, need to know who you are. Need to know who Jesus is. Need to step up in that position so that you can get the keys to the kingdom. This is one of those areas where the keys opens the manifold wisdom of God to the principalities and powers of the entire earth. Not to the person that happens to have their window open next door. Man, y'all are just, I don't know, are you dull? What's going on here? Go with me. I'm talking that God wants to make you show that wisdom of God. You. Remember I told you that God wants you to move up in a place that's beyond you? Well, that is a place beyond you. You can't show the manifold wisdom of God by study. There's no way. God will do that through you. Through you. That's what He wants. Well, what do I have to do? Yes, sir. Read your word? Yes, sir. God says, I'm asking you to make a decision about this. The decision is yes and amen. Yeah. Yes. You got second thoughts? May have a couple, but I've decided that neither death, nor life, nor power, nor principalities, nothing can come between me and the decision I just made that He's my Lord. Yes. Nothing! Guess what? The world says, ooh, what a wise man. Wise? You just chose heaven over hell. My goodness, that didn't take a whole lot of wisdom. Yeah, but it wasn't up to you. God decides to make you look wise so that He can reveal Himself through the church. Yeah. Yeah. Listen again, it's not up to you. God's not asking you, will you be wise for me? He just says, you make a choice for me and I'll make you wise. Yeah. Why? So that I can be revealed. Amen. God says, so that I can be revealed. And so that you can put the hurt on all other principalities and powers. And you got to give me glory now. When you do that, you got to give me glory. Isn't that what the Bible says? When you do that, you give me glory, God would say. So to be made known to the principalities and powers in the heavenly places. Now, if I could go on today, I'm going to give you one more. All healing comes from the church. James chapter 5, verse 14. James chapter 5, verse 14. Is anyone among you sick? Anybody in here have sickness in their family, their own bodies, their extended family? That's a question that the Bible says. Let them call for the elders of the church. It don't say call the TBN hotline. It don't say call Lenny Hinn and give him $100. You know what else it don't? It don't say go dip in holy water. It don't say, go take a course so that you can be a Christian scientist. It says, call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. You know what? The sick will recover. You know why that doesn't happen? Because you don't believe that. You haven't made a decision. You haven't made a decision. I was watching a television program one time over satellite, and I saw a young couple bring a baby in. And the baby was on basically a breathing apparatus that had to provide all the oxygen for that baby to live. And these people read a scripture, and they made a decision. They made a decision that God meant what he said. If you'll go to church and have them pray, the baby will live. And so they left their house and they made a long trip to go to the church. But they didn't bring an extra bottle. When that oxygen bottle played out, the baby was dead. Oh, Stan, you're playing dangerous. Their baby was healed. Before that oxygen, right at the tail end of that oxygen bottle, the people were allowed to come forward. The church prayed for them. The baby was instantly healed and no longer needed any oxygen. The people that didn't believe were put to shame. The people that did believe, they received what they asked for. Are we that bold? You tell me you believe in God, then you must believe in his word. And if you believe in God and his word, then you must believe what the word says. And then, those that hear are not enough. It's those that do. Can I ask you something? Or I'm going to tell you something. The world has nothing to offer. The world has nothing to offer. You know what the world has? Television. They report the news. They have no solution. Doctors. They report their research. They have no solution. In fact, many times their solution will kill you because they're still practicing. I hate to tell you that, but I mean, they've had great strides in medicine. God has given some wisdom to some Christian doctors, and we've still operated on that, but it's the other ones that are killing us, the non-Christian. The world has nothing to offer. The only thing or keys God offers is Jesus and his church. The only keys that God has ever given us is Jesus and his church. Jesus and his body. No church, no Jesus. Let me say that again, and you can just put that on your bumper sticker for all of those things, people that don't think they need to go to church. No church, no Jesus. No church, no Jesus. No church, no keys. No keys, no kingdom. That simple. What are the keys? Again. A, Jesus is the rock or foundation of all. What he says, who he is, how he lives, what we believe and say about him, that's a key to the kingdom. You'll never have a key to the kingdom unless you decide who he is, what he is his life should be our life, what we truly believe about him. B, another key to the kingdom. The church is everything to the Father. The church is everything to the Father. I'm sure glad God gave me this. Because you get up here and you work around on this thing and you just, you know, you pour your life into something and then people don't seem to respond and you go, oh God, with all of it. And then He shows you. The church is everything to the Father. Jesus died for the church and nobody showed up. But he still did it because that's what the Father wanted. How about you? You need to come to the church because it's what the Father wants. Not because it's good for me. Got good chairs, good sound system. Boy, that praise and worship team, they get down. No. None of that makes any difference. Throw it all away. Let's sit on the floor. Let's don't ever have any music. And if we're there as a church, God is pleased. It's everything to Jesus. I would think it'd be everything. You'd understand that because he calls us his body. I'd probably make a mess on the floor if I went to eat out at lunch today and I didn't have a body. Right? I'd just make a big mess on the floor. It's all I'd do. Nothing to be processed correctly. No energy would be turned into action. Without the body, that's the way Jesus is. No matter who he is, nothing gets done. All is done through and for the church, not the individual. All is done through and for the church, not the individual. If you haven't been in the military, it's a little hard for you to understand this concept. But it's pretty easy to explain to you. If I handed you a rifle, Jeff, and I said, I want you to go over to Israel, and I want you to straighten everything out between them and Palestine. There. And here's 1,000 bullets. Go on. How long would he last? He might last 1,000 bullets if he's fortunate, if he's found a good hiding place. But what happens when the 1,000 bullets are gone? He's dead, right? Because there's no supply. There's no 12 people that it takes to Do you know it takes about 12 people for every one soldier just to keep him alive? It's called support. Everybody's back there saying, go Jeff. But if they're not supporting you, Jeff's dead. Why do you think that the war against Satan and evil would be any different? Yeah, Jesus even shows for the disciples. He didn't pick one and say, go get him, Peter. He said, you guys don't have each other, you're dead. You understand what the picture that I just drew? Without the church, there's no supply lines. There's no backup, support. Not my idea. Can I just tell you something? It's not my idea. I don't like the idea. But I'm falling in love with it because it's real. Yeah. Me, you know what I like? I like buying myself. That's what I like. Just me and my wife, we go out in the boonies somewhere. We just enjoy life. And you know what? Without people, life is great. Except it's not the plan of God. The plan of God is for people like me and people like you to be together. Yeah, we don't have to think alike. We don't have to feel alike. Why? Why is that? Well, because if you were in the military, you'd quickly find out that the attitude of a supply sergeant is much different than the attitude of an airborne ranger. In fact, an airborne ranger thinks a supply sergeant is a no good bum. And yet, where would the airborne ranger be without the supply sergeant? They don't have to like each other. They just feed on each other. The airborne ranger is dead without the supply sergeant. The supply sergeant has no job without the airborne ranger. We don't have to love each other. Not in the way that most people think. Are you listening, Stan? What are the keys for? You know what? No, I'm going to finish it. What are the keys for? I'm nearly through. Don't be afraid. What are the keys for? The answer? Life. What are the keys to the kingdom that Jesus is talking about? What are they for? They're for life. The church has only one function, and that's to give life, and that more abundantly. Now listen, I'm telling you, the hardest thing you'll ever have in your life is to become part of anything. Because our human nature is not to be part of anything. And yet, we have a human nature inside of us that wants to be a part, but we don't want to say so. Strange thing that goes on in us. Strange thing. Somebody yells, the avalanche is playing. Everybody wants to run and be a part of it. Hey, dummy, your TV's on. Go home in your living room and be by yourself. There's no noise. There's no beer spilt on you. The restroom don't smell like pee. I mean beer. And yet we want to run right out there because, boy, we get caught up in the moment. We want to cheer. Why do you think, what draws young people into wrong lifestyles? It's because the crowd is moving. And yet they want to be part of that because they want to be an individual. What you saying, Stan? I mean, God wants you to be an individual. And he wants you to be a part of something at the same time, but he wants to choose what that is. He wants you to be strong enough and man enough and woman enough to stand up and say, you know what? What you just did is wrong, and I will never do that. And I'm not going to have anything to do with you if you're going to continue. Oh, that's judgmental. Are you part of the church? Then you are to judge. Right and wrong. And if you don't, if you don't for your children, if you don't for your family, somebody else will. Are you willing to turn it over to them? The keys are for life. They're to benefit the kingdom and us. Number one, we have to learn that judging is righteousness. We judge for godliness and sanity. We judge for the world needs, and the world depends on it. I'm going to say to you again, maybe I didn't hit this strong. This is kind of a review. The world is depending upon us stepping up to the plate. And calling right, right, and wrong, wrong. Amen. The world is depending on you. For godliness, for sanity, we must do that. We need it. We depend on it. What? We depend on the keys of life. Not just them, we do. You got your own problems in your own situation. You don't learn how to use them, you're always going to have them. And then you're going to be like yesterday. We ran up here to the restaurant. And walked up to the restaurant, and there was an old jalopy. An old beat-up piece of crud that was brush-painted, barely had some tires on it, piece of junk, but it says Jesus all over the thing. It had Jesus all over it. And you go inside the restaurant, and here's this guy in a walker doing like this. And he's got Jesus on his hat and on his sweater and everything else. And I'm going, that's what the world sees. That's what they think the church is all about. Because we've allowed them to do that because we've been so independent and so like the world. The world has kept us in an old painted, brush-painted jalopy. This old sweater was dirty. I mean, he really looked like a street bum. And boy, there's Jesus though. Come on, let's take a little pride in our body. the body of Christ. Let's stand up and let's start cursing some. Don't curse the man. That's not what I'm talking about. We curse some of the things that make that man that way. We come against it. We come against the ignorance and the wrong teaching. I told you about that young man that said you can't even be a Christian if you have money. Somebody convinced him you had to be broke to be a Christian. Then I said, why are you not even asking me for some then? I want to help you be a Christian. I'm going to give you nothing. In case you got any, give it to me. I'm not making a joke. That's exactly what I told him. If you got to be broke to be a Christian, be good and broke. Don't ask me for none. God's joy, Jesus' joy, the only true joy is in the keys of the kingdom. The church, the source of all knowledge, not only for us, but for the world. The only source of deliverance, not psychics, not doctors, lawyers, money, but Jesus, the key. The only power and wisdom revealed to deal with problems and give answers. Anybody in here like to be able to give answers once in a while when somebody's got a problem? Well, then you're going to have to lock in to the one with the answer. All healing is through the church. All healing is through the church. All right, why and when to use them? Why? Because God wants it. Why? Because Jesus wants it. When? Why? Because we need it. Why? The world needs help and direction. It can only come from the church. You need a better life, don't you? So do they. Here's the main thing. More are saved from hell and added to the kingdom, which means more God, bigger church, more God in the world today. Anybody that says we don't need more God in the world today? All right. How do I get and use the keys? Review again. Determine that Jesus is the only salvation, the only way of life. Change your life to fit your decision. If Jesus is the only way, change your life to fit your decision. Don't say it, do it. Isn't that what we're saying? Don't say it, do it. Believe and attend church. Walk in the knowledge and power of the body. Stan, yes, I said it. Walk in the power and the knowledge of the body. Jesus is the head. Can I ask you something? How much knowledge has your body got without your head? You ever see a chicken without a head? That's how much knowledge you have. I really think, I know they'd rest us all. But the best teaching in the world is for us to go out here and pull a chicken's head off and watch him go. And you'd figure out real quickly what we are like without the head.
That's
right. Boy, you make a lot of racket. You create a lot of bloodshed. You make a lot of miles and a lot of height, but you don't get nothing done.
Praise the Lord.
We'll go on later. Stand with me. Forgive me if you felt like I was harsh, but the truth of the matter is that we're the ones that have been harsh. I want to point to you and me today and say we are the ones that have created havoc on the face of the earth today, and not good, but bad, because we have refused to stand up and be heard. We refused when in my generation, towards the latter part of that educational time, when the lying scientist community, not the good scientist community, the lying scientist community began to move in and say, evolution, not creation. Abortion, not adoption. That the government has more power, has more sanity over my children than we do. And we not, and listen, we haven't stood up for anything, so we got everything we didn't want. How do we change it? How do you change anything wrong? You change. Change. That requires a decision. If you've kind of been limping along, you know, not too sure, it's time to get sure. And by the way, it ain't good enough to know the God that I know. You've got to know the God that you know. You don't adopt what I believe. You adopt what God tells you to believe. I promise you, eventually, we're all going to end up at the same point. We're just going to get there at different times. Because there's only one God. There's only one head, and there's only one thought process in that head. There's different ways to get there. But when we get there, we're all going to be in one accord in the temple. That's what the Bible, I just read it to you. We're not going to be arguing over once saved, always saved. Healing, yes. Healing, no. Abortion, maybe. We're not going to be arguing over those silly things. And I hate to tell you this, but do you know what would happen if we had a life right now? We were suddenly transported into Afghanistan. And I'll ask this. I won't make an accusation. How many of you would survive? What do I mean by that? I'm talking about surviving your faith, not surviving your life. How many of you would come out on the other side, whether it be heaven or a still spiritual walk, without saying, I failed, I'm Peter? Everybody talks about Peter being the rock, but he's the one that meant pressure was applied. He denied Christ. We've got to stop being soft. The Bible says that God hates the effeminate. That means the soft. It doesn't mean female. It means soft. He'd rather you be cold or hot, but don't be soft. Don't be lukewarm. All hearts clear this morning. I want you to make a decision for Christ. Everybody in here, I want you to remake a decision for Christ. Not for me, not for this particular body, but a decision for Christ. So that He can now reveal manifold wisdom in you. Amen? We've got great testimonies that are coming about right now. People being healed. Lives being changed. And as the church prayed for Peter when he was... when they put him in jail and thrown away the key. And they got results. We need to pray for each other. We need to pray for each other. And in that process, I want to direct right now. I said that Bill's dad passed away. Bill, our praise report, Bill is stable. He's an overcomer. Stable don't mean I'm holding my own. When you're on a solid rock called Christ Jesus and you're standing there like a rock, that's stable. The hospital says when they're stable, they're okay. I'm telling you the true definition is I'm stable. Bill is stable. The prayer that he's asked for is he's going to stand before the crowd in front of his father's coffin. And God's going to ask him to be the minister, not the grieving son. God don't need any grieving sons. He needs ministers. And he's going to be asked in that process to call people to salvation. In a church that needs it. And therefore, you need to pray that Bill becomes the angel that whacks the church and takes them out of the jail. And that whatever the devil meant for bad will be turned to good. Just like that. Okay? Will you hold him up in prayer? He was Tuesday. Great evangelist that I've ever known. Didn't have time to talk to his father when his father needed him. Crying out for salvation. And when he got there, his father had blown his brains out. And he knew that his father went to hell. Just knew it. And instead of saying, if that's what this is all about, I'm having nothing to do with it. He stood over his father's dead body. And he said, God, I'm going to win 10,000 people for this one that fell. He made a decision and he made a commitment. It don't make any difference what we see. It doesn't make any difference what we feel. It's the decision that we make because of the surroundings. Whatever pressure that comes, whatever thing that looks topsy-turvy, you prophesy, decide victory in it. Because they need it. The world needs it. You and I need it. I need you. You need me. It's the key to open the kingdom up to you and me and to those that need. Amen? Can you make that decision with me? Father, we thank you for this time together. Thank you for the word. I thank you for the heads that just shook yes to this. And so now we as a church body, we make a commitment to you that no matter what wind comes or storm comes or whatever thing that tries to tear our house, our foundation down, we stick with you. No matter what, Lord. The devil would try to make us believe that everything's coming unglued and it's a lie and I don't believe it. I believe that I am the manifold wisdom of God in this earth. I, the church. And the church needs you. Therefore, they need me. To stand for what's right. Help me, Lord, to say what's right. Help me, Lord, to do what's right. Help me, Lord. We cry out to you, Lord. We cry out to you. We cry out to you. Change us into your likeness and image so the world can see that there's still hope in this earth. And that the hope is Jesus Christ and Him crucified and I'm crucified with Him. Praise you, Lord. Thank you for this service. Thank you for the praise and worship. Thank you for the sound equipment. Thank you for the full house. Thank you for the world that's being reached. Because this message is not just belonging to this church. It's belonging to every part of the church. And it's being spoken around the world. We know that by faith. Let us step up to our place and move in that direction. Move with power and might. As Jesus would. Not afraid. But knowing because God has asked us, it'll be done. We obey, it'll be done. We believe that. We believe it in Jesus' name. We move in that direction now. Change us into your likeness and image. Motivate us in the right direction. And let everything in this place that was heard or said that was meant for bad fall, and your presence take its place. We love you, Lord. We trust you, Lord. We trust you, Lord. We know that because we prayed it, that it was heard in the heavenlies and now it is finished. We will overcome. We will bring people to the knowledge of Christ. We will be the wisdom, revelation of power in this world. And we'll take no second place and no other report. We do all of this in Jesus' name. And everybody that agrees says amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. You're dismissed. Thank you.